That background, gave you a whole lot of stories about how I arrived at where I am. Mm-hmm. But let me see if I can tell you how I see myself. Because mm-hmm. I think it's important that you lay how you see yourself on anything that you do, and then whoever's looking at it can get maybe a better idea of who you think you are. Because that's what people always want to ask you. They have an idea who you are, but they want to know who you think you are. So this is who I think I am. I think I am an American of African descent who is pretty informed, both culturally and historically, about his history and the history of his people in this country. Out of that comes some notions that where we ought to go and what we ought to do to overcome the current problems that are a result of the problems we've always had ever since we have been in proximity. See, they're the proximity problems that I like to call them. I mean, if you got a bullshit neighbor, you might not have a problem till you come into proximity with the bullshit neighbor. And our problem in America is we don't have problems. We have proximity problems. We have problems that arise as a result of our bumping up against white people. And as long as we don't bump up against white people, the problem might be there, but we don't see it. We don't have to deal with it. But the moment we get ready to bump up, we get what I call these proximity problems that are a result of not what I think of me, but what he thinks of him. So as Scott, the reason I told you about what I think of me and how I see myself, because that always has to be laid on whoever I'm dealing with and what they think or how they see themselves. If you see yourself as an American, as a human being, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, we're not going to have any problem. But if you see yourself as a recipient of white privilege, then we're going to have problems. Because I don't acknowledge that you deserve white privilege any more than I deserve black privilege. We all, I think, deserve American privilege, since that's what we all are. So when you deal with folks, I like to tell people who I am before they decide who I am. Because that's been a problem, I think, in America, that we have been using other people's definitions for ourselves, especially black people. We use those definitions now. We see ourselves as basketball players and rappers and singers and entertainers. And I see myself as involved in a war, a struggle. Don't see it ending because the adversary is a strong, entrenched, resourceful. But
how did you communicate this? I mean, you're in the position of being an educator and able to express that to your kids. How did you do that as an educator?
You mean to
talk about this, to introduce yourself in the way you did to me, and to talk about this struggle and their. How did you
mean in the classroom?
Yeah.
It was difficult. That was difficult. Because it was ongoing. Because there were always events or instances where you could say, well, see, this is a result of this or that or so and so, and you had to explain it. And on a one-on-one basis, you could do it. It was difficult to do it. Sometimes you can do it in a classroom, half white and half black, because white kids, some white kids are fair. They understand that you can spot shit without stepping in it. But some don't. Some took me on and failed to see why that was relevant. Sure. But that didn't stop me from doing what I needed to do. If I was in a classroom and an opportunity presented itself for me to use this as a teaching technique or a teaching opportunity, I did.
Did you get both support and resistance from parents?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you
yes.
Tell me about
yes.
that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always. Well, you see, embedded somewhere, I don't know how deep it is, in black people is the accommodationist strategy. And it has to be there because it allowed you to stay alive. There was a time when feeling like I felt was hazardous to your health. Okay, and so in all of us is that accommodationist stance that we must have. Now, how deep it is depends on the individual and the circumstances. So, there are any number of black people that look at me and say, Carmen, don't piss white people off. As if not pissing white people off will ensure the white people won't do what they want to do any damn way. So it's been my notion, it's been my observation that whether you piss white people off or not, they're going to do what they think is in their best interest. So I always try to do what I think is in my best interest, whether that involves pissing people off or not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's how I operate.
Picture, yeah. I want to talk about Central, but I just want to get your, I guess, CV, your resume down first, because I only got as far. we got as far as Thomas Jefferson. So,
okay.
Just want to know where you taught and when.
Okay, yeah. A friend of mine who is now over all security at Jefferson County Public Schools, Maurice Reisner. In fact, I helped him get that job. Was over Butchel, which was an alternative school populated by the worst in the system. He asked me to come and help him. I decided to come, and that's where I spent my last 10 years.
Okay.
Butchel Metropolitan. And we had the best school in all of Jefferson County. We had the worst students to go there, because these students were there for assault and everything you can name that you can get put out of school. They went, they sent to Butchel. And they didn't have a ratio. So it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So it was like 80 and 90% black. Mm-hmm. So the ratios don't stand up. So I was there, and I went back to teaching physical education.
They justify that because it's a special program?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. See, they can justify any damn thing they want to justify.
Right. Sure.
So, okay. So I was there.
What years?
I came out in 53. I mean, 53. I came out in 93. So I was there from 83 to 93.
And before that, you were at
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And retired in
93. Mm-hmm. So we had all these kids to come in. And my principal used to say, Carmen, I'm going to let you run the orientation. And when they would come in, he would allow me to come in and speak to the mother, a father. A parent had to bring them, so. And I don't want to put him down or embellish what I did, but we worked together as a team. part of what I did was to let them know that they were welcome there, that we were going to do all within our power to see that the school system lived up to its mandate. We're going to try to educate you. We're going to do everything we can to make it good for you here. But the thing you have to understand is that we're not afraid of your ass. Mm. Understand that first. And you're not going to intimidate anybody. And if you come to school as a student, your experience here is going to be unbelievable. Mm-hmm. If you come in here as a bully, you're going to get your ass kicked and you're going to get locked up.
Jimmy, right at the door with that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had more kids who did not want to go back to their school. They come in for, you know, like a semester. Mm-hmm. Some would come in for a whole year, but they didn't want to go back because they didn't feel threatened. They learned. All the teachers there were on the same page. And we just had a ran a good school.
What's the racial breakdown of the faculty?
About half. No, about a third. About a third black. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some good, strong teachers, and he was he parlayed that principalship into he's over security for the whole system there. Mm-hmm. Maurice Ryan, the good man. I used to tell him all the time, we'd laugh and play. But damn it, I'm going to send you your tuition because I'm teaching your ass. He'd say, oh, here you go with your bullshit, Carmen. Yeah.
So you work together.
Oh, we work together. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave this with you, Carmen. So, yeah, we ran a good, tight ship.
What was your position there?
I was a physical education teacher. Okay. Mm-hmm. Full circle.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about joining the fight for Central.
Okay. I told you that Ingelson, to deflect criticism of the plan in 81, plan that came in 81, he formed a citizens committee to monitor the put me on that and shut me up. Knew they weren't going to do a damn thing. We met every day for 12 years. 12 years. I mean, once a month. Monitoring the plan.
For 12 years?
Yeah, 12 years. Let's see, 81 to, I had to stop in 93.
John, yeah.
Yeah, so, all the complaints, we looked at that
There was a big plan. Vision in 84, right? Wasn't that the April 4th, 84?
Yeah, that's when, see, that is when 84 is when Ingelson was going to change it and make it less restrictive, if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And there was this, the integrationist among us, rose up and saw it as a betrayal. I didn't see it as a betrayal. I saw it as sensible. And that's another reason he put me on there. Mm-hmm. But you see, shortly after he put me on there to shut me up, he left. Hmm. And then this Dumbo came in. This current one. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I was on the committee. He couldn't get rid of me. Okay. And then I got a good friend of mine on the committee. I got Dr. McMillan, University of Louisville, and I got Dr. Robert Douglas, University of Louisville. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been friends since the ninth grade in high school. I mean, not only work together, we are best friends. Mm-hmm. So I got Robert on there. I got him on as a parent. So we had kind of a little nucleus. And for 12 years, whatever's left, we tried to get him to amend it. We said, look, we know that there are some people, black people in particular, that think integration is and progress are the same thing. They can't make the distinction between integration and we understand that. But why don't you try to do something about Central because of its uniqueness? Mm-hmm. No. Central's going to do what everybody else does.
And so Central was your, became a goal early?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I saw it as the only place where the kind of change that we needed to take place could take place. And then if you saw it being successful there, you could replicate it elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But you weren't going to get the initiative to make the kind of changes needed to transform black students unless it was black.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you tried to do that at another school, you would get opposition both from black and white people. Black people saying, "Ah, this is just a dumb down thing," and white people saying, "Well, we're giving you an unfair leg up." So the things and the kind of programs we envision could only take place at Central and could only take place with the kind of leadership they don't have now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you heard that or not. I said could only take place with the kind of leadership that they do not have now. Because
mm-hmm.
he's kind of confused about who he is. Not kind of. He's very confused. And all we can count on is Central outlasting him.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes institutions have a way of outlasting the people that are supposed to lead them.
It's interesting. I've picked up on that from people's tone of voice more than what they've said. But I've picked up on that.
Yeah, but Carmen said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be consistent.
Yeah. you're right.
Yeah.
Right. He's right. He's doctor, you know.
Trying to keep too many people happy.
Happy.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Trying to keep them happy. He's forgotten what his mission is.
Mm-hmm.
Your mission is not to keep people happy. If they're not happy on your faculty, they got to transfer policy. Get the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
Central was here before they were.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be here after, we hope, after they're gone.
So do you keep on him?
No.
No.
I backed off
mm-hmm.
last year. I just, you know, we had a class reunion last year. For some reason, after all these years, they saw fit to elect this old dumb football player, the class president. So I led a reunion effort, both to have a reunion and to raise some money for scholarships. But
that was last year, or
yeah, that's just between you and I. But we just put the money in the bank and let it draw interest until we get that kind of leadership there that we
mm-hmm.
need.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going away. It's earmarked for Central, but they're just not going to get it while he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe after I resign my position in about a month because I'm tired of it, maybe they'll decide. But that's where I am because I don't really think much of him.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever you are in life, there are times when you have to stand up and you're asked by circumstances, who are you? And when those circumstances ask who you are, definitive answer is needed at that time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he knows who he is, or if he does, he's willing to answer or give the answer needed for him in that position. So I don't know what it is. I know that he's not giving the answer, I think, the position that he's in cries for. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. And the consequences to that, there are individual consequences, and there are cultural and there are racial consequences, group consequences. When you're asked, who are you? And you don't stand up and tell people who you are. And I don't feel like he's standing up. That's not to say that you need to be a martyr, da 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 da. But I don't think he really understands what institution he's leading. Mm-hmm. I don't believe he understands it, not fully. And he should. He's a Central grad. Mm-hmm. And the lady who reared him, Mrs. Howland, she loved us some Carmen Weathers. I mean, when I was at, she knew, oh, did I tell you the reason that my great-grandmother reared me? Mm-mm. Oh, I sure didn't. My mother, dad, and father married at a high school. My mother died when I was born. So there was this great debate about who was going to take me, mm-hmm. my father's people or my mother's people. Okay. So that's how you ask me what I'm influenced by.
Right.
And I thought about her because she knew my family. And she would always say to me, she taught me algebra in 10th grade. Boy, you're going to really be something. And then when I came back, we invited her to speak at one of our reunions. And she acknowledged, she really made me feel good. She said, boy, your mother would sure be proud of you now. Because she knew, okay. Mm-hmm. She taught my mother, mm-hmm. okay. But she reared him.
And she was what? She was what relation to
him?
Yeah.
Auntie? Mm-hmm. Some relation. Yeah.
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 So you think he should have done better? He had the upbringing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He should know better. Some people don't know who they are because they've never had the connection to people who know who they are. Mm. And then sometimes you find out who you are through your connection with people that don't know who they are. But you say, I don't want to be like that.
I hear that,
yeah. Uh-huh. Shit. I mean, the other way, the positive way is to be around people that can give you, can inspire you positively, but negativism can inspire you too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't really think much of it. In other words, when you're in a crisis, let me see if I can be a good teacher again. If you find yourself on a battlefield and you talk to somebody, you would like to think that whomever it is you talk to understands that they're shooting out here. Mm-hmm. Okay, the shit, people are shooting. This is a battlefield.
Yeah.
I don't know how in the hell I got here. I might not even want to be here. But those are guns and shit going off over there. Mm-hmm. Okay? You ought to know where you are. Mm-hmm. And what the hell is going on where it is you are. And if you don't know that, I don't care what your preparation is. You in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this world is populated by people who wind up in places that they don't know what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's impossible for them to react consistently in the right way. Mm-hmm. Now, every now and then, they might do it just by just being there. But to consistently do what needs to be done, you need to know where you are and what people there are doing. Mm-hmm. If you're in a war, people are shooting. It's not like I want it to be. It's not like, well, I think we, no, you don't need to think about where you are. Everybody knows where you are. How the hell do you miss that? Mm-hmm. So if you don't know where you are, you are destined by your behavior not to do as best you can. You know, if I find myself in the middle of the ocean and somebody says, you need to think about swimming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, no, I think that somebody ought to come and rescue me.
No, sir.
Well, yeah. Better learn how to swim. Yeah. And quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Mm. So, did I tell you how we got involved? I tell you how we got involved with Central, right?
Yeah. Let me ask you what your schedule is, because you said you're going out of town. Maybe?
Yeah, we're going to go. I'm either going tomorrow or Friday. We don't know. We're going to decide tonight. Okay. We're going up to see the Bengals. Okay. We are old football fans. Yeah. Okay. They're in Georgetown, Kentucky. I can't ever stop coaching. So some old coaches and myself. We're either going up tomorrow or Friday.
Okay.
See, we're thinking about going Friday because the Bengals are going to scrimmage Friday. But we're going to decide tonight.
Right.
So, you know.
Well here's what I'm thinking, because I would like, I mean, we've been talking for 2 hours, and I'd like to keep going. I got another interview set up with a former principal, Dr. Tinsley.
Oh, shit.
We're hitting everybody. Significant look you're giving me.
That's one of my explainers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's karma. Mm-hmm. There was a...
somebody who apologizes for you.
Yeah. Yeah. She was always what I call the spirit catcher. Gunga Din. She could articulate white objectives better than white people. She's a spirit catcher. Mm-hmm. They always put her out there to. Mm-hmm. She was the face. She was the face. She was my adversary.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what I'd like to do, I'd like to come back if you've got more time for me. If you're willing.
Yeah.
I could come back. Late this afternoon or tomorrow morning or...
Yeah, either one.
You want to do first thing tomorrow morning? Because you won't leave. If you go tomorrow, you won't go
till about 5 o'clock, right.
Okay, so how about... what's good for you tomorrow morning?
Same thing.
10 o'clock?
Right. Done. Right. Deanna, an accommodationist, who could never explain to us what it was in this system that would allow black folks to make headway other than the more of the same. But maybe she feels, obviously, I hope she does. I hope she is committed to that position that she's taken and as I am to man.
Mm-hmm.
Any
particular questions you think I should ask her?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me how the position you took about the school plan helped black kids overcome their achievement gap.
Okay.
If the compelling need for integration was so strong, why didn't you extend that into the classroom? And let these black kids and white kids interact with each other in a learning environment. If educationally, you as an educator knew that special schools and special classrooms do not enhance the learning process, why is it that you allowed them to continue?
Okay.
See, that's anti-educational. Mm-hmm. But that's what white people wanted.
Right.
White people wanted special ed and advanced programs. And we both know it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet, on one hand, you say you for black kids, and on the other hand, you say you for advanced programs. And you would not terminate them under any circumstances.
Right.
But that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that more tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the advanced programs.
Yeah.
That comes up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I got to turn this off.
Okay.